You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Start of the track 9.11, a special one, because it's a special day or special time at least, and this is a very special song, because this song, at least to me, and I think if you listen to the lyrics and understand what they sing about, and think about the time before a certain event in history, the 90s, I'm a child of the 90s, and the 90s were booming in Western Europe, and especially in the Netherlands, where Tour Limited is from. No limit, exactly. That was the attitude of the people. It was the roaring 90s, literally. And that ended in 2001, actually, not in 2000, but 2001. And, yeah, that is, I think, a good topic to talk about. 18 years later, what have you learned? And I'm glad to be here on my precious balcony, precious palace balcony, with someone who has lived even more than half his life under the change in what we're going to talk about, and always a good voice and a good laugh and a very refreshing viewpoint of life. So, Garish from Geneva, please speak up.
Hi, everyone. We learned since 9/11. I want to start with something I learned just at the moment as we were researching the topic a bit before speaking on live. It was a playlist I came across on YouTube that is named Top Songs of 2001. And just the title of the song are pretty interesting, I think. So I will give you a few of those, excluding the one that are not really relevant, which is, of course, not the scientific method, I get to say. But the first one is I'm Real, Hero, Fallen, Survivor, Let Me Blow Your Mind, Can't Get You Out of My End, of My Head, In the End, Turn Off the Light, Smooth Criminal, Something Stupid, What Took You So Long, Elevation, 1 Minute Man, Murder on the Dance Floor, Where Is Your Head, and that is the whole of it. So that was just a few titles of songs that were the top songs.
The last two together. Murder on the Dance Floor, Where Is Your Head? is it a Rwandan dance floor or so? Or a Papua New Guinea or so? What the fuck?
Dancing with machete and everything.
The Aztec dance floor.
But Fall In, I'm Real, Hero. interesting digression on the topic that I never heard before, to be honest. I never heard that take on 9/11. The take on the indoctrination of the music industry. So 9/11 happened fairly late in 2001, so most of those songs were already out when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So people were...
So how old were you at 9/11? Garris? How old were you?
16 at okay. The time.
Can you give a little bit of background about your life? Not about 9/11, but your life. How was your life like?
Since I was fairly young, I was still studying, and I was doing a special study at the time on a special school to become a travel agent.
For gifted people. Travel
agent? That never really came to fruition, but anyway, the thing is that I was doing that, so that night we had some course that was between 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., so we have a big discussion on that. We didn't really study or learn anything. And the thing is that the people that were with me on that course were pretty older than me, so I really take their perception firstly. I will say that those are the few first intelligent people I had the occasion to speak about that specific event with. And then life continued, and since the perspective really changed, since there were designated enemies that were different than what I grew up with, and everything was changing pretty fast, and then it was also at the same time that the internet became pretty common in every household.
Yes. Okay. Without going into details, but how was your family situation? Was that on a scale towards the loving side or towards the hostile side?
Your environment.
Not only the family.
No, I would say that the general environment in my life was do whatever you want, nobody give a shit.
Okay, but in terms of other at school and other, I mean, friends, other encounters on the street, whatever.
The thing is that the word on the street about that is that, of course, since we were 16, we were like Ben Laden.
No, in the summer, before. No, wait. before. Bin Laden. Did you know about? Did you know about Bin Laden in summer? The summer of 2001. It's the summer of 69. Let's say, right? It's the last summer before 9/11. So that's an important summer.
I think that at the time they already have mentioned him in the news, and since I was pretty aware of the news at the time, that name, I probably already heard it for the attack on the USS Cole and in Kenya, I think it was.
Yeah, Kenya and Tanzania. Dar es Salaam is Tanzania, and Nairobi, Kenya. Yeah, indeed.
Exactly.
But
those are the three attacks that he was
You had to be quite informed by the news, right? At that time, to know that it's not like it was everybody knew that like today or so. Or
I was watching the news at the time. At the time, it was pretty interesting for me, and I was not sleeping that night, so. Watching many things.
How was that in your family? Was there a lot of push on the news or history or something like that?
Not that much, but my grandfather was pretty well educated, and I was really avid of reading since I was a child. So I was fairly aware of many, many things like conspiracy or whatever that could happen, in the sense that it was possible. And I knew that there were deranged individuals and whatever, but to be honest, at the time of the event, I totally bought the narrative, and the environment that was around me was not really encouraging in the other way.
But I think that is universal. I think every psychologist can speak up about that, but I think that is a universal thing that's not restricted to your environment, that everybody believes the mainstream narrative. There's no doubt about that, right?
I was curious to see loose change and to start to change my view on that specific event.
Yeah. How did the political situation, or the grand narrative in Switzerland with lots of Muslim immigrants, did that substantially change after 9/11 or before even?
Just before 9/11, firstly it was in 1992, but in 1992 it was not that massive, to be honest. It was the first few Somali that came to Switzerland. But the thing is that it was visible.
Let's go back to the summer of 2001. The last summer before the new era, let's say, right? Before the brave, the new world order they mentioned or something. The clown world order. Let's go back to that summer, 2001, right? 16. Then the man. Let's not go into all the pussy you've seen that summer, but let's go into. I don't know. I mean, what happened that summer? Things.
To be honest, not that much. Since everyone was off school, I think it was probably a lot of going to the pool and. We were not really worried about the future at the time. I remember that the few of us that had no really future clearly designed at the time, we were worryless. And frankly, the people that were like studying or already into apprenticeship or whatever, we were making fun of them. And it was not really the worry about the future and the future of the world at an even larger perspective. It was totally something that was out of our view.
Yes.
And the immigration thing, at least we could see that, because the thing is that in 1999, just after the 1992 first visible immigration, if I could say, in 1999 we get all the people from the Balkan countries, and that was a big change, because that was a massive wave, and that really, really shaped the reality around me for since, I would say. So before 9/11, the reality in Switzerland... fairly changed, I would say.
Lots of familiar things, of course, because I was living in Holland. But with 9/11,
you have the Moroccans, if I am right.
Yeah. And Turkish. Mostly, yeah. But in the summer of 2001, let me go back
you
to the summer of 2001. Oh, man, summer of 2001, I was in Greece, I think, yes. Was it Greece? I think it was, yes. Because, oh, that's another thing that changed that moment. Not for you. That's the thing. That's another thing you haven't experienced. It's the Euro. It was 2002, 1st of January. So it's the same. I mean, 3 months is nothing in business planning or so. It's 9/11, right?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
I mean, it could have been any bumper, like Armstrong. But no, we got...
No.
Yeah, I was completely oblivious to the existence of Alex Jones, or even Bill Hicks at that time. So, but okay. In the summer of 2001, I was in Greece. I spent 7 weeks in Greece doing field work. It was amazing. And we had one afternoon of rain, and that was it. I mean, no limits. No valley too deep, no mountain too high. That was the credo of No Limits 1993, but that was the whole 90s until September 2001. Like you said, right? It's careless, it's there's no limits, everything is possible, it's safe, secure, it's booming, economy as well.
Yes, you could get a job just by going out and speaking to someone on the street even.
Yeah, okay, I have a different perspective, right? But I worked as a baker, and I was studying geology, of course. So my political, in my family, I was raised with bombardment, literally, of news and politics and so on. And then on top of that, I also read a lot because I was sent to bed very early. So I spent literally the whole night. Yeah, man, it was crazy. I don't know. I don't know, I was 14 and it was like 7:30 or so, I mean, crazy.
Yes. Same with me.
Yeah, well, what that meant was that I started reading whatever it was, because I was sleeping on the attic. We had a room on the attic, which was cool. I had a nice view of the trees and so. But in winter with storms, you have the trees, and literally a pine tree, 5 times higher than the house next to you. But okay, I found so much material. And so, I mean, my parents had older books stored on the attic, more or less. So, yeah, I mean, literally like a sponge, I was taking in so much information. So, and I was very much, against my parents, politically especially. And from a young age, I've always been very anti-authoritarian. So actually, I was always on the libertarian side of things, politically, and later that became anarchism or statheism, or now tribal shamanism, right? I mean, that is the 18 years of growth. Of learning, actually, yeah. But back then, the situation in Holland was, very tense, because, enormous Muslim minority, and the political atmosphere changed dramatically, of course, and we will go into some more detail about that later. But what I saw in my own environment changing from the summer, it was all nice, working as a baker, to September, October, November, working as a baker, and literally seeing one Moroccan guy, and his brother not, but he was literally like, it's well deserved for America, and he radicalized, right? Not that he wanted to go fighting somewhere in a war or so, but that effect was definitely visible with him. The other Moroccans were much more relaxed and so on. There were not many Turks working there, but it was not so. It was, of course, exaggerated by the media and so, but there was definitely something going on in society. Like true witness event. That's a bit of background what I want to tell.
And what I learned since, in my perspective, is that most of the things that we think are true may be not true, and that a narrative can be pretty easily distinguished into media events or whatever. But also what I learned is that it's also nocive to be too entrenched in that environment and to consume news, even in a cynical or different perspective. I think that it's what I learned. I really need to...
Where are we now? We're in time? We're 18 years.
In 2018. In 2019, I will say that now I know that I really need to refrain from that. But it is something I learned with the time, and there was long period where I totally don't watch the news or try to inform me on anything. But
yeah, you had long times. You had long times like that you abstained from news and so.
Yes.
Always.
Always in my life, there was time where, for example, where I was living, I had no TV and I don't care to have one, and I was not really reading the newspaper. So, for example, the Charlie Hebdo Hebdo, I learned about that later in the day, but really later. Of course, it is something so massive that you learn that in the course of a day because someone speaks with you about that and everything.
For me, the whole world changed on September the 12th, right?
Everything.
And that was in a modern Western country where even there was a TV on, but we were not watching. And they had the Champions League was playing on TV, so we didn't know anything. We're just sitting in a restaurant outside having dinner. Very nice Spanish restaurant in the Costa del Sol. And there was a TV somewhere else in another area. And we heard football. So, and we went to bed. And next morning, we were awoken at 8:30 or so. And then the Spanish woman, the Andalusia woman, they talk like that, Andalusia, she told us what so-called happened, and we were in the garden of the, like a finca, like a nice house outside, having breakfast, and then the TV was on a trolley. It was put outside in the garden. We were watching TV, or the plane, so-called, impacting. And of course, we were completely shocked. And the thing is, I called my friends, when we were in the Sierra Nevada on 9/11 in the afternoon, and it was just a couple of minutes after it so called happened or so, I called my friend, and it was a very bad connection, and the only thing he could say was, there we got him. And I didn't know what he meant. And next day I understood that he made the joke that I was Osama bin Laden. That call. But that was the only thing that was the only connection that I could make. But I didn't know it for not a full day, but the next morning. And then I was there with my girlfriend, and we had a rental car. So luckily there is Torremolinos, which is a horrible shithole Dubai fake place, but it's filled with Dutch people, and they had the newspaper off that day, of 12th of September. So I bought a newspaper, which was super fake, of course, and we read the newspaper all day. And I was very much into newspapers and news and all that, so I was completely mainstream. But I remember that in the garden, I was sitting there, and I watched this morphing of this plane, and that's why that, for me, is the most important point, because I thought that cannot be the case. This is not right. Because, your normal physical, it's the same physical knowledge at 22 as I have now. Right? I didn't learn extra physics. High school physics is enough to know that it can never be reality. So, later on, it was in 2014, after I woke up to the Apollo stuff, that I realized that was impossible. And then I found September Clues and all that. But let's not jump ahead too much. So yeah, there is.
Yes, so the thing is that also what we learned since 9/11 fairly depend on the when we learned that 9/11 was not what we firstly think. So
yeah.
For me, it took many years. I already knew the Michael Moore documentary on 9/11 that give you
Fahrenheit,
a little
idea
on that.
That also was that I think was my first not Loose Change, but that.
No, I saw that before Loose Change, but I consider Loose Change to be more.
Can
I say that more on the topic and more revealing than the silly documentary of Michael Moore?
I think I watched Loose Change after September Clues, even so. I know for me it was not the one, but I watched a couple. And for me, what was puzzling for me was this justification, and the only way to explain that without Simon Czech's work, that it's fake imagery, is something like a crazy weapon or nuclear bombs or so. So I was taking these two explanations most seriously because I thought, okay, this needs to be explained. This is unphysical behavior. So the same thing there, that was the main point with me. And then, I found September Clues and it was all solved and I was not interested in it anymore, right? And, later on I found some troll things, names and so. What is it? I don't know his last name, but McDonald or so. We have Kelvin and what is it? Kelvin and Kevin, and then it was the same last name, and it was there were two brothers or so, and one of them died, so called in the tricks, and it's a complete triumph, right? Complete trolling in your face, and these kind of things. But it's the learning afterwards. It's what you. Especially since waking up, indeed, right? This the time since 2012. Let's say for me, 2013 is Apollo, and 2014 is Sandy Hoax and 9/11. But like I said, in the last now 12 weeks, I've grown so much more than in 12 years before. Now it's different. But I would say it's the moment for me.
Yes, there is. I would say that Loose Change first opened my eyes, but I would say that it's probably in 2009 that I really started to consummate every conspiracy media possible for the longest time.
But okay, wow.
Also, I had a period where I stopped altogether because.
There's 10 years already.
It's also taxing in the mind to have those long periods where you watch and want to know everything about those. Those allegations of pedophilia, those dark things, and all these dark things, it's too much at the point you really need to have a different perspective in life. So it's like the news in the end. It's the same thing, but in reverse.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But I think for me, especially all the news and politics and so on, has taken in from the mainstream point of view. In the end, those general lines are still true, right? I mean, the details are staged and they're different and the agenda behind it and all that. But the general outline of it is, I mean, it's true, right? And then later that helps a lot in recognizing actually how they actually do it and how sloppy yet skillful they are, right?
Yes. So, and 9/11 was not the most badly done if you look at the one after that. So what I learned is that since then, I would say mostly is that different perspectives try to look at the thing from a different way and be more cynical about the cynicism of the people in control.
Yes, yes. What do you think? What did you think of what I put there on the 9/11 media fake read channel?
Give me an instant.
Well, I can read it if you like. There's no problem. I can let the bot read it, maybe. Let's do that.
18 years later.
I will let the bot read it, okay?
Yes.
Just give me a second. Please keep talking. Okay, what is your answer, short answer? One sentence to this question.
Believe nothing.
Wow, that's rude. It's really short, nice. Okay. Let's see, yes. Okay, I have learned to see if the bot can read as well, but I have learned this.
Gaia said that believing news narratives and expecting to get informed of the truth is like a London prostitute believing she'll have a lovely date with Jack the Ripper.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's a reason I chose Jack the Ripper, because Jack the Ripper is an admitted mythological figure. Because even the mainstream also admits that there's no evidence he ever existed. And he is an invention of Arthur Conan Doyle. Listen to A. Morris, well, that's all down, so you cannot, but he talked about that. But let's not go into detail. But so that is why I chose him and not Ted Bundy or so, because that is feeding the same narrative they want to sell us, that this guy is real and the real murderer. And Jack the Ripper is fictional anyway. I could have taken maybe better a real cartoon figure or so, but you see how I try to use the right words and analogies. That is a learning,
not,
right?
Most of those characters are not real, and that is also something I learned since 9/11, is that the history that we are fed since is mostly made of Emmental. There is as many holes as in an Emmental, because people will tell you that it's Gruyère that has many holes, but it's not the truth.
No, yeah, true. No, it's Emmental, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yes, for American listener, Gruyère has absolutely no holes.
No,
Emmental.
Gruyère is French, and Emmental is Swiss, right?
Yes, but the thing is that the French managed somehow to produce an Emmental that they have the right to call Emmental.
Ah,
even
okay.
Though Emmental is a region of Switzerland.
I mean, you don't want to go as a Dutchman to Colombia and go to the supermarket and see queso holandés. Well, this shit you tried to sell me is not queso holandés. And even they have imported queso holandés, Dutch cheese, really. But it's even then, because all of the freezing process or however they do it, it's not the same. But okay, let's not go there. There's also something I learned, at least in the last years. What are, do you have experiences since 2009, that's longer than me, that you had encounters with people that saw your point of view and that also tried to wake up, or so in real life, not online, in real life?
Yes, I always had a few friends that were on different level awoke to certain things about the world as it is. And the same for me, because 5 years earlier, I don't know as much as I know now. So since it's a learning process, I would say that there was a different time, different people that were along me on the learning. Some of those people stay and some of those left, and some of those changed their view on different subjects, same as me. But there was always some people that I could speak with some level of the world as I saw it, at least.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
For example, I have a friend that is very fluent in English. And at the time, I was watching Alex Jones a lot. I was listening to a lot of Alex Jones. It was probably in 2000.
You didn't take over his accent. You didn't take over his accent. I don't know.
It's a luck, I would say. So I did want to introduce him to my friend, because he was speaking English very, very fluently. And he said, okay, he told me like for 3 hours into the fact that this guy was not really sincere and that he was not a good source of information. But
When did you learn this?
2010, I think, my friend was already saying that this guy was not sincere.
Wow.
It took me many more years to really catch on the fact that it was a total act, and he was not who he was pretending to be.
Okay. Going back to before that, the glorious 90s, let's say, did you have any examples that you can remember in your own life where you were exposed to these psychopaths?
The thing I can say that I remember was that was that there was a bumper to our right.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in
like
a small
it, yes.
or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com
website. You haven't done that.
You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation.
No.
Thank
don't
you
use PayPal,
for your
eh?
Support.
Don't send it to ad physically. Money, physically. That's the way.
JohnLeBlanc.com. FastPodcast.com. Give to those people also.
Yes. Okay, let's go.
I kill your train of thought.
No, what's this experience in your life?
Yes,
right?
Yes. One experience I could say that I have had as a child of the change in things was that the first time I saw soldiers patrolling the street were at the time of the 1994 wave of attack in Paris, because my parents divorced in 1994 to make us swallow the pill. Our mother take me and my two brothers to Paris to go to Disneyland and all those stupid bullshit. So anyway, we got to go there, and there were soldiers on the street patrolling with dog and FAMAS at the hip, and it was pretty impressive for a child as young as I was. So that was my first encounter with this mad world that they wanted to create before 9/11.
It's very interesting because I've had this similar experience. We were on one of our very, very few holidays. We went looking for fossils and found many fossils. So anyone who thinks that a hoax is pretty stupid because... Let's not go there. But okay, ammonites, you can find them in the beach. They're sticking out of the beach. But okay. So we went to France, and this was in 1992 or so, I think. It was before the Maastricht Treaty, when there were still borders in Europe. So we were crossing the border between France and Belgium, and we were stopped there because there was a so-called attack by the FIS, the Algerian so-called terrorists in the metro.
If you allow me just to say the name in French for the clarity of the argument,
yeah, please,
it's the Front Islamique du Salut.
Du Salut?
Du Salut.
The greeting or of the hell? The
Islamic Front of Salvation.
Okay, salvation. Yeah, I mean,
but the ultimate salvation, the one with the 72 virgins and whatever the narrative is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a constructed group, right? And, we know who is behind this, of course. But,
yes.
Destabilize countries, right? They're doing too well, so they need to be suppressed and from the inside out. And right, okay.
Yes, and also that is a thing that I learned since 9/11, the influence of different networks in different continents of the world, such as Africa and South America, for example.
Yes. Yeah, also for me personally, see, at 22, I haven't been outside of Europe. And in Europe, also not so much at all countries. So I knew like 15 countries or so in Europe. So not so much as now. So you get such a different view of what the real world is, how people really live. And yeah, you know, I've had so many experiences. It's so crazy, and this is how it was talking about 9/11. Yeah, hey, right, there's a house in Khartoum, Sudan. You can go there. You can photograph it. Please have your blinded windows there because there are guys outside with guns. I don't know if it still exists. This was before he was so-called killed. So, yeah, I don't know if it still exists and so on. But, yeah, I mean, the house is there, and these people talked about him and so on. Yeah, I don't know, man. People saying, yeah, it's an actor, of course, but there is also a real persona behind it. So, it doesn't matter. But it's these kind of experiences, right, that makes you...
In your work experience, did you encounter people that were, for example, saying that were in the business longer than you and that were, yes, for example, saying things like, it was not like that before, there were way less security and this place used to be safe or whatever, things like that, for example?
In which country? This place used to be safe?
Well, whatever country you were in the world. Someone like older than you that mentioned that it was not like that before and so and so.
Oh, that was my first business trip for the company I worked for in Germany, and we went with my friend and colleague and football player and geologist who has mapped Antarctica. We went to one of the most beautiful trips I had, immediately leaving the most horrible city you can imagine, it's Tehran, and we crossed the Alborz Mountains all the way to the Caspian coast, 300 meters below sea level. The deepest place I've played football, I already told it. But, I mean, literally, these people were begging us to, how do we get to Germany? How do we get out of this both political and religious dictatorship? And I was in the car. This moment was so surreal. I was in the car with my colleague, a very simple car driven by one of the geologists and another one in front. So four guys in the car. And they were talking about, how much liberty should we give our daughters? With these Muslim guys in Persia, in Iran, they were like 55 years old, 50 or so, and us in the back, and the speakers of the car were in the back, and super loud music, and what did they play during this conversation? You couldn't imagine this. I Am a Slave for You by Britney Spears. I mean, in Persia, where women have to cover their heads and so. And you have fashion police that goes around and checks it that it happens. Right? Can you imagine that? these kind of experiences make you
cry. Exactly.
You know? And
you start to see the world for what it is. But one thing that, if I say pre-9/11, one thing that my life was a big, big change, something that showed me that the world was not really what I think it was, was that I had the chance to travel to Tunisia as a child when I was nine.
Nice.
And it was excellent because I was not with my family. I was with the family of my godmother.
Okay.
And her husband was from Tunisia, so we went there into a house, not in an hotel or whatever. Yes, and that was incredible. I had the chance to go into each and every house of the village to eat at least once.
Well, you can do that here in the village too.
Yes, so it's incredible. Those people were so welcoming, and it kind of showed me that we are all the same, and
there's not that much
difference between people.
As a 9-year-old, it must be a very impressive experience, right?
Yes, but it's cool. You can buy those little scorpions in wood boxes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You eat things that you didn't eat normally.
Yeah.
A lot of sardines. To be honest. A lot of sardines.
Why sadly? You don't like sardines?
The small fish that you fry.
Yes.
Sardines.
I'd like them.
Oh, is it called in English?
Yeah, sardines. I think same thing.
Sardines.
It's the same thing, I think, yeah. The same thing in Dutch as well, and I would say.
So a lot of sardine. And it was very, very formative for my mind to see the world differently. And I read a lot of books, and then, of course, 9/11 happened, and the learning curve got only higher because there was so many information that were coming from all directions at one point. And also the independence you gain by growing up and starting to know yourself better, not putting yourself in environments that are not good for you. In the more practical sense, I would say.
In these 10 years, that's a long time, that's more than half of the 18 years, right? Can you name like three moments where you had what I would call an epiphany, right? A eureka moment, an aha, erlebnis, or what Dave J was talking about before we recorded.
So the first one I will think of, Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Because it was so fake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so clear that it was so fake from the start.
Yeah.
It was an eye-opener. It was incredible. It was like in front of your eyes that there was absolutely no truth to that. And
it was trolling, right? Trolling.
Yes. And at the time, internet was different. The people were all over this on every and each YouTube channel or whatever. It was a very, very big thing.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Jones actually made his big name with that. And I think that is, we should learn from that, and also from the, this was literally, if Apollo was a eighth grade project, then this was a third grade, right? It was so childish, so badly done, and on purpose. It cannot have been sloppiness in this case. This was completely on purpose, right? And that, I mean, it was meant to wake us up, right? We fell for the hook, for the Sandy Hook. Wow. Now, what? We fell for the Sandy Hook. And but there's nothing wrong about that. The only thing is, the lesson which is very important to take, that it cannot be a blueprint for everything, because that would mean that everyone is simulated, everyone is crisis actor, and there's nothing ever happening real. And if you use it like that, and if that was the intention behind it, to make it so stupid and so such an obvious act, then you create this trap that people will look at everything ever like that. And that risk we have come across, or I have come across at least, actually when I joined, the first comment I read before I joined, which was pretty interesting. But yeah, that is a big trap, and then I've learned a lot about that, especially at fake colleges.
Yes. Another one that might be not so familiar with the people of fakeologies.com, the Discord server for that matter, is the Toulouse shooter. That one was also very, very badly done, in the sense that firsthand you have many witnesses that claim that the person that shot had blue eyes. And it was very clear because the people was wearing a motorcycle helmet, so the only thing you can see was the eyes. It was in most of the first and testimony, people were saying that the person was tall and having blue eyes.
But he didn't have his visor on, or?
No.
So it was a helmet with the visor up. That's what I don't know this story. I didn't look into this. Okay.
And they say the first witness was saying that this person has blue eyes.
Yeah, it's very particular.
Small,
right?
Arabian guy that have absolutely not the profile, and they kind of started to build this backstory where supposedly the guy traveled all over the world in a period of a few months. Like in 2 years, he gets into like 7 countries, like Pakistan, Egypt, Lebanon. You know, like something that makes absolutely no sense to do. Whatever your intentions are, if you are not working, like for example, in one specific trade, there is no sense to go to those places. Being a young unemployed, 20-some years old in France.
If I can fill in for you the third one, it is exactly this, because they're using the same script here, and it is undoubtedly the third one, because that is the one that brought you here, and that is the Christchurch shooting, right? Because they exactly invented a life story of this guy, that he went to North Korea, Pakistan, I don't know. I didn't follow it up closely, right? I was already so bored with it, but just a couple of things I picked up, and then it's enough. You know it, right? You know how you know the drill, literally. And I think, I mean, whatever you have in your head, Gareth, for your learning and your experience, this is the most important one, because otherwise we wouldn't have this conversation. Right? The sequence of history is, otherwise we wouldn't have this conversation.
Yes, it's quite something in my mind, in the sense that that was one of the first that I know of where the video was really released, and you can see that it was too obvious. And it makes no sense to me that was released. So I wanted to discuss with people, find a new voice, something that was different. And since I was already listening to Fakeologist at the time, that was the best place. And I think that it was one call or audio where I've mentioned that you can join the Discord, and I did. And here I am.
Okay, okay. Interesting question now. One or two, or whatever, of the best Fakeologist chats you have listened to?
Oh, it's a big, big question. I really liked it, to be honest, the first one where Faye was on, because it was someone from Switzerland, and I didn't have the chance to hear anyone from Switzerland ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I understand, yeah.
And there was a big, 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 big one, an extensive one about 9/11, but I don't really remember. I think that Rollo was on.
Yeah, of course.
Many, many people were on at the time. I cannot remember. Tom Dalpra, of course, probably. Everyone that matters in the end was there on that specific audio chat that probably lasted like 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, okay, massive. Okay, yeah, no, it's good. It's, yeah, no, nice. Yeah, I didn't listen to anything before I joined. I joined because I read things and so, but not. I didn't listen. I didn't. Podcasts were not my thing at all. So I didn't. Yeah, that was not my style. Not in my system. So yeah. That has changed since then, but yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah, nice. Can you name maybe one or two main learning points, one before and one after Fakeologist joining? Let's say that's like also it's a definite moment. Is it like the 9/11? Well, for me it's 9/12. I must say 9/12. I should call it. Is then the whole worldview changed. That is undoubtedly true. In that sense, 9/11 is very important, yes, because it's much more than just this attack. It's the real boost of the clown world. Because before that, it was, life had no limits. It was all working. It was all going fine, especially in Western Europe. Here, talking about here, I wasn't living here, but things were getting better from the bad mid-90s of the cartel wars with bombings and all the shit and shootings and all that stuff and airplane bombings. It was getting better. It was still not good. Not like today, of course. But so also here, I don't know how 9/11 had an impact on Colombia so much. I mean, it's a very militarized country and it is the most pro-American of the South American countries, most close relationship. Like I said, the Constitution is written by Bill and Hillary Clinton, 1991. But so I don't know how that is, but mostly people here, things outside of Colombia are hardly ever shown in the news even. The news here consists mostly of real things, like floodings and natural disasters. And there's a story, I mean, the few times I saw news, there was a story about a girl here who lives in the countryside out south of Bogota, and on a horse every week she goes to a library and then she can read, and it's a project by someone, and someone needs to put her name out there. But yeah, it's good that children can read, right? And you know, yeah. So that is what you have on the news here, and it's not so much of this this Middle Eastern terror things. Yeah, people get some snippets of that, but it's 90% of the news here is local.
It's a rehashed bullshit, reheated food. It's the same thing on and on. But to answer your question, two things I could say is the realization that if the perpetrator can be faked, the event itself could be faked. Mm. And after I joined Fakeologist, I think that I learned that there were many, many more layers to what I already think it was. And
yeah.
Also that it was possible to get people to discuss this perspective. And I don't think that... I thought that it was only a small circle of persons that were like, for example, doing the podcast round.
I was going to say...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important
message.
This is 12x14 Nikon. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
If you know the enemy, know yourself. You need not fear the results of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle.
It didn't come out really well in conversation, but I thought after the bumper.
Yes, and
you were talking. So
the amount of fascinating documentary link or text that were sent or shared with me since I joined Fakeologist is just massive. It's I will say that it represents almost a year or two or 3 years of what I could learn otherwise, probably.
Yeah, that is also something I have learned, is that you need time to digest. And it is impossible to be up to date at a level if you cannot fake that. You cannot fake experience in looking into this stuff. You cannot just say, yeah, in 2 months I have learned everything, but normal people need years for it to study. It's not possible. No. You can consume things, but you cannot remember all of that. You cannot. You don't see the bigger picture, right? You don't get new clues. You don't get. You don't get.
The fact is that it's most of an adjustment, if you know what I mean. It's something that you already kind of have the perspective on, and someone say something about it, or just send you a quick article on something, and they just adjust your perspective without changing it altogether or being such a learning thing or whatever. It's more of an adjustment, if I can say.
Yeah, I would say I think the words spoken were pretty, pretty a big learning point. What do you think of that?
The word?
Yeah. I'll play it
Which
again.
Word?
These words.
Oh, the
if
word
you know
you
the enemy, do. Know yourself. You need not fear the results of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle.
That is a great philosophy. It can be applied to each and every situation. So we started to learn about our enemy.
You know who it is, right? There can only be one.
The except that we are, that we
yeah.
are.
Yeah,
I don't know from which philosophy it comes.
It is more in your sphere of interest, so then you definitely should know who it is.
That could be a part of the Agakure or Sun Tzu, something like that.
Yeah, Sun Tzu, yes, exactly.
A kind of martial philosophy.
The Art of War, yeah. I mean, I don't know if these books are really that old and so on, if they're really historical, that old, but it doesn't matter. If they were faked in the 13th century, they're still true, right? Yeah, it is these kind of books that it's revelation of the method, right? It's the philosophies they learn from that and apply in the clown world and have applied for hundreds of years.
And it will be applied for 100 years to come. And that is also something I learned since 9/11, is that I probably think at the time that we can change the world and totally reverse the narrative of what was going on, and everything that was unjust can be made right. But it's not the case anymore. Not that I am thinking that it will never change or whatever, but I think that I realize that the control system is way, way, way stronger than I could imagine.
Yeah, that's why I think what we need is directed anger. It is the sign of masculinity. We need to protect our tribe, our minds, our own minds, and those people around us, and especially of our children, need to protect them from the clown world. Detach from it as much as possible. I mean, stopping media, stopping vaccination and stopping education, you're already very far ahead. Education not, but the school system, you know what I mean. I heard, actually I will recommend to listen to the latest Powers and Principalities by Joe Atwell and Tim Kelly. 117 they are. They're a bit farther ahead than we at the FRAC, but at least we're catching up. And they have a very two bright minds talking, and they talk about the public education system. So it's very good. And Tim Kelly said he has 8 children and he unschools them. So yeah, I mean, no participation in the system. If he can do that with 8 children, I don't know his background, he he was a cartoonist, but from a cartoonist salary, he cannot maintain 8 children. Well, maybe he has a rich wife. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But he can only have 8 children and unschool them because he can afford it. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it, right? So it doesn't matter where you get the money from, right? Your first priority is not to put the poison we had for 18 years, let's say. 18 years of poison, because 18 years in Holland is the school system, from 0 to 18. No, not from 0, of course, but it's until 18 is the highest education level, which I had. Gymnasium, right? So, and people have a double year, then they are probably older. So you have this system, 18 years of indoctrination, and you have the chance to not do that to your own child, your own blood. And we need directed anger. We need men to be men. We need directed anger against threats to our existence, our natural humanity, our tribal shamanism in the core. I mean, we cannot live like tribal shamanists in the current concrete jungle I'm looking at, but it is important to recognize the threats and direct our anger towards those. That is absolutely crucial, and we shouldn't be pussified by this clown world, and we should speak up and act against these threats.
Amen to that. There is nothing I can add to what you just said. Yes, everyone, and that includes also the ladies, everyone need to man up and try to make a difference if it's possible in our own lives. But sometimes it can be pretty difficult, of course. And homeschooling your children can be sometimes possible, and sometimes it's more difficult.
It's the easiest there.
People make their own choice, but,
it's the easiest thing there. You have your children at home.
I think that for someone to do that, it must just be the greatest experience ever. So
there's so many people who do this.
Yes, and since I don't live with my children, I will say that it must be just incredible to have the chance to make them learn what is really important. Without, of course, being crazy and like having your 6-year-old at home homeschooled and watching Loose Change or whatever.
No! The only responsibility you have is to prepare your child that it will be in a world of lies and craziness. You cannot, I mean, it would be the worst approach would be to dump that in their face. No, you need to go step by step, and from the beginning on, train them, not train them, because children have that naturally. That's the thing. When they're 3 or 4 years old, and I remember that, because that's how I learned about so-called chemtrails, right? It's asking questions. Children are skeptical. Children are critical. Because that is part of their nature. It's part of human nature. And that is butchered out exactly at that age. That's why education systems start at that age, because it needs to be butchered out. And parents do the same thing. Bad parenting is if there's a threat or so, don't touch the gas or whatever, it's hot pan or something like that, to make up lies or so. No, you have to be explain it and so, and then a child can understand that very easily, because children grasp things naturally. They can learn multiple languages like in no time. So the brain is very much I don't know if it's impossible it's very much it can absorb so much information, especially as a child. And that's the crucial phase when you shouldn't start injecting the child with poison. And the thing is, it's not only the content, it is the whole system. It is sitting in a chair behind a desk or so, or whatever, what you have, and sitting with people you don't want to be with, listening to someone you don't want to listen to. That is completely crazy. If you would ask someone to do that now, you say, okay, from 9 to 10, you or someone on this, you're going to sit somewhere, you have to listen to someone, you don't want to sit there with people you don't want to know, and you have to listen to a story. They will slap your face, right? They will say, you're crazy. And people do that to their own fucking children every day. You see how crazy it is? Yes. Literally.
And I think that the thing is that if you really want your child to have a higher education, in the end, they will end up in any university you want. So they will have
that is your job. Yes.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, that is your job as a parent. If they are intelligent enough that they can make it to a university level, academic level, and hopefully they are, and there's no shame if they aren't, it doesn't matter at all. It is sparking their own interests, their own passions, their own creativity, and the things they don't like. Of course, you have to eat your greens, but that doesn't mean you have to know about Fourier transforms in mathematics and all that shit, if you're not interested in that, right? So everybody has natural sparking buttons for your own creativity, and it depends per individual. There's no, and that's the whole thing about this so-called school system, is that it must be taken out, right? You cannot be yourself. You're not allowed to be yourself, and I refuse to submit to that. That is literally transhumanism. If you are not allowed to be yourself, you're a transhuman.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's true. It's correct to say that that is the first step of transhumanism, but there is so many things that you encounter in life that are transhumanistic that at this point it's more easy to register the ones that are not than the ones that are. So, yes.
Yeah, but I think it is.
But for the children, I would say that even if you were to send them to whatever school or whatever you do, the thing is that if you have a certain disdain or non-interest for the thing of the clown world, they will see it and they will start to understand. They will pick your mind. They will ask you, but why don't you care about this? And she will come back, for example, from school and say, oh, it's terrible, that and all. And you can start to explain, to dissect, or whatever. So there is always
a
chance.
Wait a minute.
A better start will be to homeschool them, of course.
Wait a minute. There is a very real... that is the whole thing about survival, is identifying threats and dealing with them. I mean, nothing secret about this. So, there's a threat about here, because children have an adolescence. And what can happen, and you cannot control that as a parent, how much you want to, and how many parents try to, is that it is possible that your child starts to identify with the system against you as a parent. And that risk is zero, because it's not exposed to it. It's home, quote-unquote homeschooling.
Yes.
That's the thing, and if you want to risk that threat, I think you take a far too big risk. And the thing is, Switzerland may be unique, this fee for the schools and so. The U.S. is the complete opposite, let's say. And here, it's very U.S.-like, especially for university, but okay, also secondary and primary education costs more. It's ridiculous. Bringing your child to a building and having them so-called educated for hours can never be cheaper than having your child, quote-unquote, at home and letting them explore their own learnings. That can never be cheaper. You see what I mean? How can that be cheaper? Yeah, you have a state bullshit in Switzerland that they subsidize it from stolen money, of course. Yeah, okay, but the natural thing, the whole activity takes energy and costs in it, right?
Yes, and also I will agree with you that for the older generation it was kind of different, but nowadays you get so many people from so many places that need to learn so many basic things before you even get to the meat of anything that you really learn, that it's a disadvantage for children.
I wanted to use the go back to the argument or non-argument of looking to the past. Yeah, but it was different when we grow up. Okay, that is what I heard before. Yeah, okay, that is like saying in 1930 that cars are not dangerous because they went 5 kilometers an hour 40 years ago. Yeah, that is This is not how the world works. The world changes, so the education, so-called education system, changes with it. And if we have to recognize the difference between the 90s and now, in everything, and then we don't need to go to school to see how bad that is, right? And if you expose your child to that, 18 years of indoctrination and the threats of people around them, especially if they are woke. Try to get that, man. Try to be awoke and outspoken. Be yourself, right? If you're an extrovert kid, like I am, and is outspoken. And at school, with everybody, main story, yeah, good luck, man. Good luck.
Yes, and in the end, I will agree with you that it's not good to expose your children to other fucked up people, kids, but nothing is perfect in this world, so you get to do with what you have and make the decision in your good conscience about what you want and what you not want. And it's a difficult thing.
Of course, it's difficult, but the children are the most fundamental choice in life, right? And it is important that you prepare them for the clown world. And that includes that they have to learn so-called facts and have to lie in reproducing them as they are told. They cannot say 19 box cutters didn't fly planes into buildings because that's physically impossible. No, they will not pass the test. Right? That's not how it goes. So you have to train them in that. That is your task as a parent, right? That's a no-brainer. I don't see any. I cannot grasp that someone cannot. For me, a space travel, okay. If you don't want to see what I see, okay, I can understand that. But this, no. This is completely, for me, this is mind-boggling that someone who is a truth seeker and is at the point of having children or whatever, at the point not having former past children, but at this point is having doubts about sending it to a school system or not. I cannot comprehend that at all.
Yes, and also you will save a lot of time in your child life. The stupid time that the professor will take to explain to another stupid dumb kid.
Yes, that is
something
that
you did not understand for the third time. And the moment where you move with all your class and you get to go to one place or another. Pretty fucked up. All that time you
can
go
to
the museum or whatever.
Yes.
And get in the class there.
Yeah, and that is the thing. Literally what you say now, my father, he worked at the, and that still is, the Museum for Education. And that opened and then, okay. I will not repeat it, but, shit, I lost it. Oh, fuck. Oh shit, can you repeat a bit, Garrus, please? Oh, fuck.
So yes, the gain of time. I was speaking about the gain of time. That is a monstrous.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, and think about, children have to go to school. You have to expose them to a ride. Yeah? Normally nothing happens. Oh yeah, the thing. The comparison with the car. This argument of time, right?
Speaking of
Let's talk about that later.
To another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
Well, if you stay in the clown world, yes, you do. But if you step outside of that, then suddenly, epiphany. It is literally, I understand now people who have like religious, like are reborn or something. I understand it perfectly. Yeah. But it is, Europe is not the same as when we grew up. Even then there were some immigrants, but now it's an ongoing stream of it and it's a higher reproduction rate, which means that your child is forced to be with people from other cultures. And I think there's nothing wrong with people from other cultures, but it should be a choice if you want to interact with them. And the school system is now such that cutting off boys' penises, that's completely normal because that is done in this and this religion. Or whatever it is. Or whatever. This cultural relativism that there are certainly no standards anymore because everything is... if that's the case, why don't we sacrifice our children like the Aztec or the Muisca? Right? And that is... stupid. It is all scripted by social engineers who call themselves social scientists, but it is not a science. It is politics. It's mind control. It is, by definition, it's not reactive. Science is reactive. It makes observations and tries to formulate theories about it and laws. But social sciences, quote-unquote sciences, are not. They are an agenda. They are a push. They're active, right? Okay.
Yes. So, but the thing is that, like you said, you can not make a judgment of valor or culture or whatever, but claiming that everything is normal and at the same stage and is equal, not in valor, but some people are not that well informed, and science has not maybe find some the reason for some things or whatever. I don't know to explain it, but you cannot say that everything is good everywhere and that this thing, because, oh, they are doing it, so it's okay. Like you said, I make absolutely no point, and it's pretty destructive to the European culture.
My point is this collectivation. I mean, I would be delighted if my child plays football with an African kid, and I know the parents, and they're good people. There's nothing against it. And any normal, natural human being who is not a stupid Lombroso racist would have the same thing. I don't want my child to be exposed to other African or other kids, doesn't matter where they come from, but the problem with African kids is that they are coming from somewhere else and that has an impact. And they are also experiencing the bad sides of these kind of cultures. I don't want that to happen. And I think any parent who is okay with the risk of that happening, and the risk in 18 years is 100% of any negative involvement, girls with Turkish boyfriends or so, yeah, that's fine, but then let's do it the right way and not the enforced way in a classroom and so on. So I think putting your children into that also because of that reason, I think it's... And like you said, I mean, the teacher has to explain more and more to other people, because you put more and more stupid people into bigger classrooms and with more stupid teachers, and not necessarily stupid, but restricted in time, and they have to follow a program and so on. My mother has a very liberal program. She could do her all her program just like I did in my kind of work. But that is freedom is not what teachers have today, of course. And yeah, it's torture. It's complete torture.
And also, when I was a child, we had this girl from Ukraine, only 1 year in our class. But since she was the only one that was absolutely understanding nothing, it was pretty easy to help her. Since we were like 12 of us to try to help her, get everything, understand the basics and whatever. So it was pretty easier. But if you get 12 of those kids in a class of 20 that came from whatever country and all those crazy life story that the parents transport or whatever, it's getting pretty difficult, I imagine. But in the end, that is something that is ongoing, and not that much could be done against that, except, of course, homeschooling your child.
Detachment. I mean, look at their example. The so-called European Parliament. It's one big clown show with translators and so, because they cannot even just speak English. Like, and these people are all diplomats, and I don't know what the fuck they are, right? They should all speak English, at least, apart from their own native tongue, of course. I mean, there is no limitation that their language skills should be any worse than ours, right? They had all the education in Harvard and I don't know what kind of shit, right? But if that is the example, this Babylonian bullshit, and that is what is done in classrooms, because you put children together from completely different countries. Huh? What do you mean by this? I mean, yeah, there is no learning at all. So even if you look at only the practical side, and even if you believe that the mainstream story and all that is all the truth, then even that it is, then it's stupid.
Yes. Education is a strange animal, and it's better to take it upon yourself if you have the financial means to do that.
No, but this is the thing. What is so expensive about it? People can learn from... You can literally stay at home all day,
yes,
watch YouTube, and you become an expert in many things, right? That is possible today. Why
yes.
not do that with... normal education, yeah, you have to learn the basic math and you have to learn...
But the thing is that they established a system. For many people, it's very difficult to get out of that. It's the fact that they think that it's not possible to live on one salary. And also the...
But what is this cost effect? I don't
so
miss
that,
you have to buy books
from
school.
Yes, and also the... I know that, but also that is a mindset. I don't think that it's a specific truth, but it's a mindset. And
okay.
also the fact is that the feministic ideas change also that now the women want to work, it is a right.
Yeah, my wife is working. My wife is working. Yeah. What? So what?
Yes, but it's the thing is that if you wanted to homeschool your children, one of you two needed to quit their job, or at least have a part-time job.
No. Wait a minute. We don't, that is the thing. This twisted reality, because... suddenly we live in 1975 or so, because there is the internet and you can work online many people. If you have children, you have to make that choice yourself to prepare yourself to have children. One child you start with, in other ways.
Oh, yes, clearly.
Right?
I agree with you that if, for example, I will save enough to buy a Mercedes, I could raise a child.
Let's be honest. You could take your child in your car and you can drive Uber and you can teach your child and you can let them speak with the customers. That is learning. You can do that. That is zero cost and even profit. Yeah? That is what creativity means. You're faced with a hurdle. And you need to come over it. How do you cross the hurdle? This is so basic. Sorry, I don't see any need to explain this. You know, this is how life works. So children are the most fundamental choice. This is the thing. I mean, if it would be like a new television, yeah, okay, right. But people have to make priorities. So yeah. But let's not talk about children and schooling anymore, because we have done that already, Gears. So we talk about more learning points and so on. In the meantime, I will look up something.
So what do we learn since 9/11? A lot of things. And like I said, I really wanted to have the perspective of persons that were older when 9/11 happened, because it might be interesting to speak between the two of us, but we are... frankly, of almost the same generation, if not totally of the same generation. So it's kind of a round discussion, if I can say. We really want to have some people that were older at the time and that already have a good grasp on life. That would be fascinating to have, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
I know that there is people that are a little bit older than me on psychologists, and I really want to have their perspective on what they've learned since 9/11, because they were already adults and... it is a total change. I mean, like I said, their perspective on life was probably well established at that point, and I really would like to have that perspective. And if it was possible to make some kind of a few audios with an older member of ecologist.com between now and the 11th of September, that would be cool, I think.
Mm, yes, very much. What I wanted to share is... what I would say is the Dutch 9/11, because after 9/11, a new political party and politician came up in the Netherlands, Wim Fortuyn, with first the Lijst Fortuyn and then Lijst Pim Fortuyn, it became in the end. And this was a huge change in society. And I also was sympathetic to what I heard of this guy. He was not a politician like the others. He was a sociologist, which is, like I said, it's a fake science, right? It's push. And this guy was a pretty wealthy guy already and so on. So that all, and he was gay, that was also important, and he liked to hang out with Moroccan boys, but he had very good things to say about the change in society, and it was definitely true, and of course he was branded racist and all that shit. But it was, and literally, on television, on Dutch television, the leader of the party, I have been in the youth organization, I've seen it from the inside out, this guy was waving the diary of Anne Frank on television to warn about this guy. Literally. Explain that to someone else, right? The atmosphere was very strange. And then actually what happened also in that time is that people became much more, of course, because of 9/11, much more politically interested and so. And so I started my first forum, and then later that year my second forum, 2002. And just 3 weeks after, there was this so-called murder of Pim Fortuyn. Inside the mass media complex in Holland, inside, on the parking lot, so-called. Well, it was a staged event, and the guy didn't die, and didn't have a speck of blood on his nice white shirt, so it was a pathetic attempt. At the time everybody believed this, and of course that was a big thing. He would become prime minister literally 3 days later in the elections. And the elections were going on, and the party got a lot of votes and became second biggest, but not the biggest. And then the thing is, literally 911 days later, 911 days later, the guy who made a movie about a conspiracy to kill Pim Fortuyn, namely Theo van Gogh, was also killed, according to the story, on the streets of Amsterdam at 8:45 or so in the morning, which is the most busiest time with bicycles and everybody going on the street there in the east of Amsterdam. It's still pretty central, and I know this place, it's really, really busy. And allegedly he was his head was almost cut off, and a knife was placed in his belly with a note to Ayaan Hirsi Ali. And then another thing happened, because the guys who were so-called responsible for this was the Hofstad group, and the Hofstad refers to The Hague, the capital of Holland, not the Netherlands. But there is one street where these guys lived. And what happened is that the police was making an invasion, and these guys were throwing bombs to the police, or bombs, or at least explosives, to the police in the street. And I went past that street every day, not at that moment, but later. So I know where that is, but I don't know if that's that story is completely real. So I mean, they can explosive, which sound like explosive, but they're not real bombs. So in the end, it was a controlled group, of course, same as these fish and the other groups. But the thing is that both of them, they faked their deaths, and that is quite substantial, because these are the only big psyops in the Netherlands, apart from one. Two events, one mole shooting, and one where your so-called the guy was killing people by riding him over with his car because he wanted to attack the queen or something like that. I don't know. Bullshit story. Yeah.
So that was the first time that you were exposed to fake death, I figure.
No, because I found this out much later. Actually, when I started reading Miles Mathis, and then I wrote this research, and actually, it is, and now I'm looking at it, and I think, okay, that was then that my standard, well, those have improved a bit. So, and I'm not really interested in it. I mean, I like to talk about it now, it's the first time I release this, but it's clear. That was the only thing that really personally hit me, was the murder of Theo van Gogh, because I was a big fan of him. very big. And I mean, he was a not only a movie director, but also a columnist. And he wrote, I mean, his language has definitely influenced my language. It's all in Dutch, but still, and he's excellent. And they have an interview together, so I will share it. I will put it in the show notes. I mean, these guys both had one place where they wanted to go, the Theo van Gogh to the U.S., and he went there, and I think he works under a different a name in the background to direct movies, because that's his passion. And Pim Fortuyn had a villa in Italy, and so, yeah, he went there. So, I mean, it's very easy, right?
Yes, and those two guys were not fairly young, so it was kind of a retirement for them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, Theo van Gogh's father, he worked for the Dutch CIA. Or the, yeah, CIA, I think. Well, it's I don't know, it, like MI5, right? Yeah, it's the same word. I mean, like the National Surveillance Organization. The guys who are listening in now, those I mean.
So, hello to them.
Yes. Hey, guys, join the table. It's open for everyone.
Yes. Join the conversation.
I mean, let's have a proper discussion about the morals, why you still want to work for the clowns.
Yes. Let's have a fair and sincere discussion with someone from the CIA one of those days, if that was not already the case.
The thing is, you only have to look at what these people are doing. They're also not putting their own children in schools. Sometimes they do. And I have spoken to people who have been to school with the royal family and so on. So that is done, but still, it's like the mayor of Amsterdam, now mayor of Amsterdam, she is all from the Green Left Party, and we have to accept immigrants, and it's also nice. But her children, of course, she puts in a white neighborhood and a white school, and so, right? And that is showing, I mean, Jonas Salk is not injecting his, that's maybe a better show. But, you know what I mean.
And all those people will end up in Patagonia anyway.
Ah, could be, No.
Huh, yeah. Why not?
I mean, that's the elite
of a few selected countries.
Yeah, no, it's good to mention that. It's great to mention that, because if I have to make a name an epiphany, it was that. That is when I started to really, it all made sense now. Plum Patagonia. When I researched that. Yes. Because then you see, what I see, this nationalism ideal, the tribalism, that is what they want in Patagonia, and this is what they see. And it makes sense, but the only thing is, they want to be the exact opposite for us.
Yes. Yes, and in the end, it makes sense in the greater scheme, because if the agenda is to destroy a civilization in a sort of way, having your faith.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dream, and to fight and conquer in all your battles is not supreme excellence. Supreme excellence consists in breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting.
They're still there, yours.
Yes, I'm still there.
You were talking.
It was good wisdom.
Yeah.
And yes, the martial philosophy, the philosophy of war can be applied to many situations, and the one that we are currently in is one of them.
Hmm.
It is needed to apply some, not to be at war, like taking the arms or whatever, but in your mind, taking the position that those people are against you and you are against them, I think that it's pretty important also.
That you are against them, they are against you? Sorry?
Yes, the fact that you know that who you are against and...
Directed anger,
enemy. Exactly the point that was made in the earlier audio clip that we listened to.
Yeah, it is directed anger, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Not be mad at things that make no sense, not trying to dissect each and every hoax that happened from a broader perspective. That is something I learned.
I think that is useful for a while, and you learn. But if you're not interested in that, don't do it, right? Of course not. But I learned a lot from it. You learn a lot about the mechanics and how they do things and how they fool people. And that is not one blueprint, but that they have different ways of working and so on. And I cannot stress enough that Ole Damegaard's video on that's excellent. I mean, he exposes all the elements very, very meticulously and very with examples. And yeah, well done. As soon as you start seeing it, it all makes sense. It doesn't make sense from a logical, natural human point of view, but it makes sense from the psychopath's point of view. And then it's so, I don't know, how much you find it quieter. So I understand this reborn idea. I understand that the people have that same feeling, I think. Yeah. Suddenly it makes sense. The puzzle is there. It's solved. In a sense, of course, there are always more pieces of the puzzle, right? There's still enough to find out. I'm not saying you're finished or so, but at least you have an established view, okay, this is how it is and can be. And it's also, it relates with everything from, I can understand people who still believe in space travel, but then the other point comes up. It's like a balloon, right? You press it on one side and then it pops on the other side. Yeah, then the important thing is not putting your children in the institution or inject them with mercury or formaldehyde.
Which brings us back to Alex Jones. Alex Jones once said that there were mercury in the vaccines.
I don't know, but I've heard so. I mean, they put stuff in there that is not...
Oh, yes.
You shouldn't inject that into people, period. There's no...
Especially children.
Yeah, exactly.
After that, if you want to take whatever you want to take, if you
take someone your own size, right?
Yes.
Take someone your own
size.
Exactly. Be a man.
You want to.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need to say to these rabbis sucking dick.
Pick someone your own size, exactly. But that's not the fun of it for them in the end.
But that is what?
That is not the fun of it for them. They are pervert individuals that thrive on the weakness of communities or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These people don't even care for 1 second about Jewishness or whatever like that.
They have one thing, and that is what I call the chosenite idea, and it doesn't need to be Jewish, but they have a very strong element in their thing. Is this chosenite idea? The quote, licet jovi, non licet bovi. And that is what is completely unnatural. I don't believe that there are Homo sapiens sapiens that belong on a rock that have the right to rule me or so, enforce things, and or other people. Same thing, right? But mostly me and my direct surroundings. That right you don't have. Gaia decides, not you. So that's why I think actually, every religious person should be a truth seeker. Because if your religion comes first, then you have to apply that consistently, and none of these negatives then can make sense as well, right? If you approach it from that side. What we talked with Dave J about.
Exactly. His point of view on things. Especially on the fact that what we have, what we're doing right now is what we have. It's the only moment that we share, and let's make it good and try to not get lost into stupid points, pointless argument, and stay.
We have had that phase, right? We have had that phase.
Yes.
And I think the concept of Satanism, what I understand of, I am very, very illiterate on the Bible and so, especially about the details, the general idea, okay, more or less. But the idea of Satan is, in my view, someone who copied God and dressed up as him, right? And then inverted what God was saying, and everything that is not God is then Satan. But he disguises himself as God. That's what I understand. And that is exactly what the clown world is. It is disguising itself as if it's Gaia. And we see that in the space travel and the new coax and so. It's physically impossible things are, or 9/11, right? Physically impossible things are presented to us as reality.
Yes, and when you superimpose a narrative onto something, for the common people, it is impossible to grasp that. Yes, it's like double speak, double think.
Mm-hmm.
You are limited to entertain the idea. There is no possibility.
Yeah, and my conviction is that I will use the number, the idea. 70% of the people naturally have a resistance against being lied to. And I think, so there is, for us, a 70% pool of the people, I would say, like 5 billion people in the world, I think are able to wake up.
Probably on some sort of level, but it might be very difficult to reach the tipping point with some of those individuals.
You know what I mean?
Some of those people are willing to endure a lot of life before considering that change is needed.
No, the thing is, there is one main, it's the easiest, and it's the most impactful. And after that, it's mostly up to the individual. But one big step is to detach from every media possible. That is the main first point, and then people start naturally seeing the world for what it is. If you completely detach from anything, no news, no TV, no media, nothing, internet, nothing, then people, because I feel it's the same thing. It is a really very good detox, and completely. I did it from TV already so long, but completely, then it is when you really start to see things. And that is what people still put in their bodies, in their minds, every day. And no matter where it comes from, if it's Facebook or whatever, right? Doesn't need to come from CNN anymore. On a flat screen device we have in our houses, doing nothing, at least in my case. You know?
Yes, consume as
first. Not as little. That is the thing. Completely detached. Only then it works. Only then, because then you're not. Your brain starts functioning naturally again.
The spell stops working suddenly.
Sorry?
The spell stops working suddenly.
Yeah, exactly. You switch off the sound of the siren. Yes. So even listening to a siren, like the Greek, the sirens, right, in the sea, that try to lure you, that those sirens, even if you play them at low level, they still affect you. And that's the whole point, yeah.
But yes, we are all in some sort of way have access to some media. I mean, if you work in construction, most of the time the guys will be listening to radio and there will be the news bulletin and whatever. And all
But it's a chicken brain eater, right?
Yes, and the thing is that if you make the conscious choice to be detached from it,
yeah,
you're good.
The thing is, I understand people want to listen to radio or so, but then if you listen to podcasts, at least what you get is then still you get programming from the news via a filter, but you get a different view from us, let's say. Not this podcast necessarily, but just anything about the news or so. You get at least a different view of it instead of the scripted, so well executed propaganda machine, especially in the US. There, it's I don't know. I cannot imagine people can take that seriously. But it's even better scripted. The BBC is the worst example, of course, because it sounds so very serious and so very trustworthy. Right? That is oof. The British accent. It's yeah. Right?
It's pretty specific. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, Building 7, that's a great thing to have, because anyone after that who claims the BBC is so trustworthy, and that's also a phase you go through, At least I heard that. It's not. But it's, yeah, no, one media is bad, but the other media is good, right? Wait a minute, no. The same standards apply, and that's what you learn afterward. And the same standards apply. And also, it doesn't matter if it's a YouTube video or a YouTube video by CNN or whatever. No, it's the same standard, right? If they make a claim which is outrageous, they have to come up with even evidence as if it's mainstream.
Yes. And I get to, at least for my part, wrap this up because I get to go something to eat.
Yes, yes.
It was very, very fruitful, and I was really interested in your perspective on what you learned since 9/11. And I think that we can agree that it was a life-defining moment, even.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, everyone, fakeologies.com, farpodcast.com, and... thank you for
Fakeopedia and Fakeopedia. Frack 9.11. We will put some show notes there. Well, an idea, of course, for the next days around this so-called anniversary is maybe share your idea. What have you learned? How did you, I mean, just a general thing or whatever chat like we had, join the chat, do your own chats, especially, right? Yeah, I think that is this 9/11 thing is dead, but the learnings from it are far from it.
Yes, yes. Get on the audio chat live stream, record yourself alone, bring whoever you want, and give us your take on what did you learn since 9/11.
And as a finisher, I will play for the fans the full song, what we just listened to, Sabaton, The Art of War. Well, until the next chat, everybody.
Bye.
If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle.
That's all, folks.